Amen. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to Grace Point. We're glad you're here this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us as we begin a new series this morning called Unto Us, Finding Us in the Christmas Story. I want to base it off Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is kind of going to be our springboard here in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about the gift of joy unto us, the gift of joy unto us. Beginning in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, just a moment. Let me mention three things before we jump into the message. Number one, Flannel Fest is this Wednesday. So if you want to come, we certainly want you to come and be a part of it. It's a great time for our church family to gather together. We'll meet here in the worship center at 6, have a time of worship, go out into the lobby. The children's ministry leads this event. There are plates out there, giving plates, cookies, decorate those cookies as families and put them on the plates, and then we give those away to people, neighbors, coworkers, family, friends. So if you want to come and be a part of that, still time to do that. We just need you to sign up so we can know and make sure we have enough for everyone who's here. You can sign up in the lobby or you can sign up online. Either way, just to let us know you're coming. So Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we hope you'll come. It's been a great ministry over these past few years. So we look forward to it. A good time for us to gather as a church family together and to kind of start things off in December, the Christmas season. So Wednesday night, 6 o'clock here in the worship centers where we'll begin Flannel Fest. And then second, Coats for the Cold is next Saturday at 9 o'clock. Thank you so much for bringing coats. You brought tons of coats, and we're hoping to give all of those away. If you still have coats, you can still bring them. You can bring them to the office during the week, or you can bring them if you come on Saturday morning. Certainly feel free to bring the coats then. So thank you for taking part in that event. Again, some of you signed up to help, so we'll be in touch with you this week with another email to let you know some details of that. So I hope you'll be praying towards that event. It's always a good event for us, ministry event, to give to our community and to give away. Coats for the Cold, Saturday morning, starting at 9 until 12 o'clock. And then last, let me mention to you, remind you, church family, if you're a Grace Point Covenant member, we are nominating elders now. There's two elder positions that we need to fill. Brad Bates, A.J. Maurer have served their term and are rotating off at the end of this year. So we need to nominate two new elders from our church family. And so we have you do that as a church family. The information about that is out in the lobby. It's also online on our website. In the top right corner says elder nominations. There's a letter from me. I've listed all the qualifications, the biblical qualifications for elders. And then there's a nomination form. So all that's in the lobby or on our website. So if you're a Grace Point member, let me encourage you to be praying towards that and nominate someone to serve as an elder. December 22nd is when we'll finish the nomination process, okay? So it's coming quickly. All right, there's a lot going on, but I want to just jump right into the message this morning. Let's pray together, though, first, okay? Let's pray together. I'm just reminded, anytime we come to the Word, and I'm teaching the Word, that we must fully depend on God to speak to us. When it comes to this joy that we're talking about, I think it's so critical that we live out this joy, but we miss it. So I want us to pray that we are fully depending on God, that I am fully depending on God in teaching. It's by His grace I teach this morning. And His grace we hear, He changes us. So, Father, we do pray that through Your Word You speak to us, that You will give us ears to hear, that we will understand Your Word this morning and the message that You have for us, God. I pray by Your grace that You speak through me to these people. I pray that we can understand Your Word and Your message to us about living out this joy that You have given unto us this morning. So we recognize our need for You this morning. We depend on You, God, to speak to us. And may it all be an act of worship. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right, so Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I want to read just that verse from the New King James Version. It's on the screen behind me. I'll use a lot of different texts this morning, a lot of supporting texts for this issue of joy unto us. And you follow along if you'd like, or you can follow on the screen here. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When I was thinking about Christmas series a month or so ago and looking at the different scripture passages, I came to Isaiah and started reading through Isaiah chapter 9, and I picked up on this unto us part. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And you go to Luke 2, talks about what he's given to us. We're going to go there in just a moment. And so my thought was to then pick up on that and focus on finding us in the Christmas story. And that's what I want to talk about these next few weeks. All the gifts that God has given to us. Now, when we talk about finding us, I want to be careful because, you know, I've said before and I continue to say that when we think about God's word and the narrative of the Bible, it's not about us, it's about God and what God has done for us in Christ. We're not the main thing. God is the main thing. The Christmas story, we're not the main thing. God is the main thing in Jesus as he sent to die on the cross for us and for our sins, okay? So finding us is not to make us the main thing, but at the same time, the scripture for unto us. So these things that he has given unto us is what I want us to look at and what I want us to talk about and to see these gifts so we can grab a hold of these things during the time of Christmas this year and even throughout the year, but especially as we think of about Christmas and as we kind of charge toward Christmas Eve and celebrating on Christmas Day. So unto us, and today I want to talk to you about the gift of joy unto us. And so Luke chapter 2, I want to go to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 8 through 15. Luke chapter 2, here's what it says. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Then we'll go back and pull some of these scripture passages to talk about this joy that God has for us. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let's just stop right there, back in verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." That's us. That's us. The gift of joy unto us. And that's what I want to zero in on, is this word joy. And the joy that God has for us is given unto us. Now, when we think about joy, here's the question, the rhetorical question. If indeed God has given unto us the gift of joy. Now, foundationally, what we see in Luke 2:10 here, foundationally, that is found in Christ, right? That joy, foundationally, that is found in Christ. That is where we find. So if we look for our joy in created things, it's fleeting. We look for our joy in Christ, said Luke 2, unto us a child. That's where that joy is consistent. That's where it's deep. That's where it lasts. Now, here's the deal, though. When I think, and most of this message really is for me, because I've wrestled and still do, like, with this whole idea that, so if God has given unto us this gift of joy in Christ, and all throughout Scripture we see joy, and Philippians I'm going to talk about it, and Paul talks about joy that he had and we should have, then why is it that so many Christians are living a joyless life? Why is it that if indeed this gift has been given unto us, Luke 2, why is it that we as Christians, myself included, struggle with this issue of joy and many times aren't living a life of joy. Or at best, it's a fleeting thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Many of you have probably heard it many times before. Always be joyful. You know, you hear that verse after a tough week, it can kind of annoy you, can it? Always be joyful. Always be joyful. We sing joy to the world at Christmas time. And at this time of year especially, right, we should be joyful. But so many times we're missing this joy that the Bible talks about. So just to begin, and I couldn't fit everything on the outline, but I'm going to give you two things that are not on there if you're a note taker, so you can kind of try to squeeze it in. But there's two things to start with that happen that keep us from feeling like this joy is a possibility. Now, there's a lot more. I'm just going to give you two. Okay, we can make a list. But two things that keep us from feeling like this joy we're talking about is a possibility. Number one, first, is the bad that should not happen. The bad that should not happen. So we all have to deal with bad, hard stuff at times. And so some of it we bring on ourselves. Other times we didn't bring it on. We say it shouldn't have happened. We don't deserve this. We look around and see bad things happening even to good people, and they don't deserve that. And we just see in our culture even the bad things that are happening. And we see that around us, especially when it hits home. It just seems like joy is an impossibility because of all the bad that really shouldn't happen, but actually does. It steals our joy. And then the second is the good that doesn't happen. So the bad that shouldn't happen, we look around, see the bad that happens, and with all that bad, how is joy a possibility? Then the second is the good that doesn't happen, the good that we want to happen in our lives, and it doesn't happen. The dream that we've prayed for, and it hasn't come true. The prayer that we've prayed and prayed and prayed, and we get no answer. At least we don't get the answer that we want. And so the good that doesn't happen can cause us to think that joy is an impossibility. How can this really happen? Now, when we look at these truths, and we can make a list, it could be many, there could be many others, we have to come to a place, and this is where what I had to kind of arrive at when I think about joy, because for me, I found myself that there are many times I have to fight for joy. Now, that doesn't really sound right, fight and joy in the same sentence, but when circumstances aren't good. So, do you believe, and don't, this is a rhetorical question, do you believe that everybody in this room, regardless of where they're at, should still be able to find joy in the middle of their circumstances? And I would argue from a theological standpoint, yes, they should. From a human practical standpoint, I'd probably say no way. And that was my tension. Is I hear, but man, I see what even some of you walk through and have walked through, and the loss and cancer and loved one, you know, and just how. But then I come to what the Bible teaches, and what I want to show you today is that yes, we should be able to. Now look, that doesn't mean that we're just going to be, when things are hard and difficult, we're going to be jumping up and down and just happy and just. I'm not saying we're to ignore the reality of what's going on, but that's what the Bible is teaching us, and that's where the tension is that even in the midst of struggle, trial, loss, whatever it may be, that we acknowledge that and deal with that. But at the same time, the Bible is teaching that there's foundational, there should be joy in that. And that's what I want to look at today. And here's something that the Lord, just as I battled through, taught me, showed me a while back. And that is this, that if joy is going to work, the biblical joy, okay, for us, we cannot wait for perfect circumstances because we do not live in a perfect world. Okay, so I think I've said to you before, I'm an organized guy. I like my ducks in a row, right? And every time I get my ducks in a row, Somebody moves a duck. I don't like moving my ducks. But sometimes also what we do, I think, and I've been guilty of this, is we wait until our circumstances are in our mind perfect or it's great. And then once our circumstances are perfect, that's when the joy catches up. And so when everything's perfect, then I'm going to be joyful. I mean, that's how I kind of operate. And when things aren't perfect, it's hard for me to, then I had to fight for joy. So what I'm learning through the scriptures and continue to learn is that principle. I can't wait for perfect circumstances because we do not live in a perfect world. But I need to fight for joy and find it. I want to show you my journey and what I think we can, based on what the Bible teaches, regardless of what's going on. Now, certainly, sometimes it's going to be easier than others. No question about that. But let me give you a definition of joy on your outline there. Joy is not having perfect circumstances. Joy is found by applying God's truth, which is what we're doing today, and God's power, which is what we need to do this, to our imperfect circumstances in this imperfect world. Now, there's a lot in that definition. Okay, God's truth, that's what we're talking about today, and then God's power. So you know what and I'll show you some other verses in just a minute, but what the Bible continually shows us is our need for Jesus, right? Everything's pointing to Him, okay? The things that He calls us to do is to be joyful always. I mean, that takes Jesus to be able to do that. We're not going to do it in our own strength. And so if joy is going to work, it has to be in an imperfect, broken world. If joy is going to work. And it means that we must understand that in order for joy to work where I'm at right now, it must involve the power and the presence of God in my life. So this isn't a sermon as far as like, look, I'm going to give you six takeaways and it's not like behavior modification. Do these six things and you're going to be joyful. As though it's all dependent upon us. Certainly, we have a responsibility, as I'm going to show you here, I think, to choose, right, rightly, what biblically, but ultimately, you know, in my notes, when I was writing this message, I wrote two things across the top of my notes, just at the heading. I wrote, first of all, we need Jesus, period, to do this, no question, all right? And the second is, we must pray. I need Jesus and I must pray to see this. It doesn't just happen, right? So again, it points to our need for Christ, our dependence upon Him. So Luke chapter 2, verse 10, right? The joy unto us in a Savior then tells me, presupposes clearly though, that biblical joy can never be found apart from Christ. Right? So we're never going to experience that. So what happens is we put our joy into things. Sometimes we don't even realize it. We put it into created things, right? And then as we talked about last week, we treasure those. Those things break down. Those things stop working, rust corrode, right? And then what happens? Our joy is fleeting. Or we have joy until we get the test results back. The test results come back and it's not good. And then our joy is fleeting because our joy is in things. Doesn't mean we're not going to be disappointed or discouraged or have hard times. But what is foundationally, where's your joy? And so as we think about in Christ, Luke 2:10, and not in created things. John Piper, when you experience the living God Himself, not His precious gifts, but Himself, through His Son, Jesus Christ, as so satisfying to your soul. Now see, maybe that's what we got to pray. You know, we got to pray and ask God for this joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He produces that in us. So I'm praying and asking God to produce that fruit in me. It's not just me trying harder. When you experience the living God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, is so satisfying to your soul that no suffering in your life can rob you of that satisfaction in God, you make Him look great, which He is. I call that kind of joy serious joy. That kind of joy. Now, I'm not going to give you a message today and you walk out of here and you go, hey, man, it's all done. I'm joyful. But I do hope to give you what the Bible teaches to help you begin moving down that path, to begin living this joyful life. I mean, God wants that for you. I want that for you. I want that for myself and for my family. Just to experience this joy that's been given unto us. So takeaway number one, here's the first thing that I think it starts with. And that is, we look at the life of Paul, we look at Philippians, and it's about joy, and he's sitting in jail as he writes it. Takeaway number one is this, that joy is a choice I make. Joy is a choice that I make. I choose joy. Robert, Max Lucado writes from a book, it's from his book, Robert had cerebral palsy. This disease kept him from riding a bike or going for a walk, but it didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending college. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching at a junior college or from venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. And Robert's disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary in Portugal, where he moved there alone. He rented a room, found a restaurant owner who fed him after the rush hour, and a tutor who instructed him in the language. And daily in the park, he passed out booklets about Christ. Within 6 years, he'd led 70 people to the Lord. I heard Robert speak. He could have asked for sympathy or pity. He did just the opposite. A Bible in his lap, he held up his bent hand in the air and boasted, "I have everything I need for joy." So joy is a choice I make. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Well, that the implication of that is constantly, right? And that we must, to do that, then we're going to have to choose, because there's going to be times we don't want to be joyful. So even in this broken, fallen world, God's word tells us we can have joy. But here's the deal. We must choose joy. We make that choice. You will make that choice today or choose not to. We can choose to be a discouraged person, discouraged people, because there's a lot to discourage us. There is. And people who choose discouragement, I see why. Man, you look around, there's a lot of discouraging things. You make that choice. You can choose to be a discouraged person because there's a lot to discourage you. You can choose to be an angry person. There's a lot to be angry about. Yeah, there is. We can all find things, I bet. We can choose to be a cynical person because there's a lot to be cynical about. We can choose to be an unforgiving person because there's been a lot of hurt maybe that you've taken. The point is, we make the choice. Nobody forces that on us. We can also choose joy. There's a lot of joy stealers in life, man. There's a lot of things that try to steal our joy. Weather can steal your joy. Traffic can steal your joy. Other people can steal your joy. Health issues, fear of the future, regret from the past, on and on. These things that are joy stealers. But we can still choose joy. So then here's the question. How do I choose joy? Let's just say this platform is a map, and there's this circle here around me, and it has you are here. So this is where we are, just like when you're looking at the mall. You are here. And let's say I'm in a place where it's just kind of routine, kind of ritualistic, or maybe I'm having struggle or suffering or difficulty, but I'm not experiencing joy. I'm not experiencing joy. So we are here, all right? And then joy, where God wants you to be. And this is where God wants you to be. God does not want you to live a life of misery. I don't believe that. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." And all through the scriptures, and Paul talks about joy. And so let's say this over here, we draw a circle around me here in this. This is joyful. This is joy living right here, man. This is where it's at. This is where God wants you to be. So the question is, how do I get from there to here? Because everybody wants to be here. There's not anybody in this room, if you're honest. If I said, you know, who wants to be joyful? Who wants to live the life of joy? And every one of us do. So how do we get there? And that's what I want the rest of this message to be about. But it springboards from joy as a choice I make. And then there are consistent choices that I think from God's word here that we see that others make, that part of the story that they made that we too should make, all right? And then that leads us to this place of joy. So takeaway number two. So takeaway number one is the joy is a choice I make. And then underneath that, so takeaway number two is choose. Okay, I'm going to make a choice. All these are going to be choices, all right? To see and hear the gospel or the good news, okay? So foundationally, that's what we want to see. So at Christmas time, we need to be intentional. We are dialing in, we're seeing and we're hearing in the good news, the gospel, once again, that unto us, right, a child is born. Unto us, This joy is a gift to us. Okay, so foundationally, you build on that in your family. Okay, that means you still put up the tree, you still have presents, you still make the Christmas cookies, you still watch Elf, best movie ever made, maybe, top two. You still do all those things with your family and your kids. I think those things are okay. But foundationally, mom and dad, are we building up foundationally, right, where that joy is? What is the foundation of our joy? What is the foundation of the gifts, of the giver of the gifts, right? So you build that up for your children now, so as they get older, they understand that the ultimate joy is not in what's under the tree, right? It's the one who created everything, that tree and everything under it. So you teach that at a young age. Again, I'm not saying they do without. I'm saying, but what a great teaching opportunity, right? But you have to be intentional. You have to choose that, right? The world is not going to choose that for you. The world's going to say more. The world's going to say faster. The world's going to say more expensive. The world's going to say this. That's what the world, right? So we have to choose to hear and see the gospel of the good news for ourselves too, not just for our kids, but for our kids. And then also, just like in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, choose to hear and see and hear the gospel. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." So they were hearing good news, gospel of great joy, the joy word again, that will be for all the people. So we know that they heard it and responded to it. We're going to see that in just a few minutes because they moved. They left to go find the Christ child. So they heard. They chose to hear the gospel and the good news. And so foundationally, our joy springs from that. At Christmas and year-round, right? That joy is a choice I make. It starts when we choose to hear and see the gospel in Christmas. We don't let it get pushed aside. These other things are okay. Now, I also think in practical ways, man, choose to see and hear the good news, okay? Now, look, that doesn't mean we ignore problems. That doesn't mean we ignore bad news or we stick our head in the sand. I've never been a fan of that. I don't think you do that. But I also say be careful because if we're not careful, and sometimes I do this and I catch myself and I get so frustrated with myself. But sometimes, I'll talk personally, maybe you can relate. If I'm not careful, I can get in a certain lane where I default towards negative, right? So my kids, one of my four kids calls and, 10:30 at night says, "Oh man, the car broke down, I need some help." And my first thought is, "Well, that's great. It's probably going to cost $3,000 to fix it," right? But it only cost me like $250 for a battery cable, right? But my first thought is, "Oh gosh." And then what happens is I spew negativity. It's a negative. So if I'm not careful, I default to that, right? So typically, we don't default to, it's all good. What happens is fear kind of creeps in, and we start to speak and respond out of our fear. And so what happens when I do that is I have to do this. I have to choose. I have to choose joy. I have to choose. It's not to ignore. It's not to hang up on them and ignore the fact the car's broken down. I still need to address that, and that's still a real issue, right? But I need to choose, right, to some way be encouraging, to some way be positive, to not be negative towards him, to not be critical towards him, to not be, and then to look for the positive. Man, sometimes December is one of the most like stress-filled months, and we need to just be aware, I think, and catch ourselves so we don't, have the conflict increasing and the disagreements increasing the closer we get to Christmas Eve, right? And you come here on Christmas Eve and, hey, we're on a good mood, right? And people are tension and there's, hey, and we got to do this and then we got to do all that and we got to, right? And it's easy for us to get in that lane. So what I'm saying is we have to choose here. Joy is a choice I make. Choose to hear, see the gospel. See what God's done for you and your family, man. See the goodness of God in your family, how he's covered you. See his faithfulness over you, and then ultimately see foundationally the goodness that He has given unto us the joy we have in Christ. Okay, takeaway number three, choose to look past your troubles to the truth. Okay, now this is one that was that I still battle because it's so hard, I think, to find joy when you are dealing with a lot of trouble or difficulty or struggle. But what the Bible teaches, okay, again, it is possible, right? And we pray for this, and we want to understand this. So I think sometimes what I've done in the past is I read the Bible about finding joy in troubles, and I start looking for joy in the troubles, and that's not what it says at all. It's not saying to look for joy in the trouble. I want to show you James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Let me read this to you. We taught through James, but it was a long time ago, January. So James chapter 1 says this, verse 2 and 3, count it all joy, there's that word again, my brothers, when, not if, you meet trials of various kinds. Now, problem is, a lot of times we stop at that verse. And without verse 3, you can't really do verse 2. Or it's really hard to do verse 2 without verse 3. Right? And so, joy isn't in the troubles. It's not. I'm not joyful that I have the troubles. But what this verse says, what God is telling us is that you look past the troubles to the truth of what he's doing in the midst of those troubles, which is verse 2, for you know, not hope or think, but you know that the testing of your faith, that's what's happening right now, of your faith produces steadfastness. So the idea is then that God, in the midst of your troubles, I'm going to be joyful because I know that in the midst of all this hard stuff, God is doing something in me, right, that's going to bless me and benefit me and everyone around me. I know something good is happening in me. Now, that's a different perspective because when I'm in the midst of troubles, a lot of times there's one or two things I want to happen. Get me through it fast or get it off me now. Very rarely am I just like, well, I'm going to count on a little joy and I'm going to look for God developing this. But that's... And without it, I mean, I think we can all agree without these trials, we may not like to admit it, but without these trials, God would not be shaping us as much as he has. If I were to ask you, just think into your own mind, the most defining spiritual moments in your life where God clearly spoke to you, showed up, most people would describe to me a time in their life that was very difficult. My most defining moments for me personally have a lot to do with it, some way with loss, has with hard transition, has with, because why is that? Because that's where we look to God most. Right? We recognize our dependence on God. And so he's doing something in the midst of this. Now, again, it's not that I'm joyful that I have troubles. If you think about like weight training or running, you think about weight training, people who are doing really serious about weight training, maybe athletes, you know, football, basketball, whatever, baseball, as they're doing the weight training, and if they're in the weight room and they're sweating and they're hurting, and they're going 100% and they're pushing and they're pushing, and if somebody's on the bench press and he's pushing it up and it's hard and it's pushing and it's painful, if I go, hey, are you joyful right now? Hey, man, rejoice, brother. No, they're not. No. It's not that training that makes them joyful. It's what they know it will bring them. It knows that as they're going through this process of tearing down their muscles and building them back up, so when they participate and compete, they'll have an upper hand. That's why they're willing to do this, because it changes them physically so they can accomplish this. It's the same idea. Years ago, Bill Parcells, he was a coach for the... we coached the Giants. I remember when he coached the Giants. He coached the Cowboys for a while. Hey, let's bring him back. And just a thought. And so when he was, I know it's too soon after a loss, sorry, I shouldn't have said the joke. When he was coaching the New York Giants, I remember one particular game, they were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it was a war, man. It was a war, and it was muddy, and they were just going at it. And he called his his linemen together one time, and he said this. He said, men, this is what you work all off season for. And he said, this, and I'm quoting him, this is why you lift all them weights. This is why you do all that. We're talking about that very moment when they were competing at the highest level possible to win that game. That's why they did. They didn't do it just to do it. It wasn't joyful. They did it to prepare them for battle. They did it to prepare. So all that to say, as we're going through this, and again, it's by the Spirit of God that we can do this, okay? That we see this, that God allows us to find joy in the midst of it because he's producing steadfastness. He's changing you through it. He's making you a stronger person through it. Doesn't feel good right now, but take a deep breath, rejoice in it. All right, rejoice. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt or struggle, but you know that I'm going to look past my troubles to the truth. Okay, let's go to takeaway number four. Choose to walk in obedience. Choose to walk in obedience. Choose to walk in obedience. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they heard, right? They chose to hear the gospel, and then they chose to walk in obedience. So choosing to walk in obedience leads us to joy. Choosing to look past our troubles to the truth leads us to joy. Choosing to see and hear the gospel leads us to joy. They heard, they believed, they saw, and what did they do? They responded. In Luke chapter 2, verse 15, the shepherds obeyed. And because they did, they found the Christ child and they found great joy. Imagine if they would have heard that and they would have just said, you know, we're good. Nah, I'm just going to stay here. Sit right here in the field. I'm pretty good right here. It's pretty comfortable with me right here. I'm just going to stay right here. I don't even know if this is true. And had they chosen to stay in their fields and they never went to Bethlehem, just imagine all that they would have missed out on. All of the joy that they would have missed out on. And it's easy for us to get stuck in the fields outside of Bethlehem. And how much do we miss out on the joy that God has for us when we choose to follow our own way instead of what God says? I firmly believe that the Bible is clear. Clearly teaches us that as a Christian, the greatest joy this side of heaven will always be found when I walk in obedience to God's word, even through dark, deep, hard valleys. It is still there, that walking in obedience to the word of God leads us to the greatest joy. So when we're struggling, when we're in trials, when we're over here, trying to get here, we get here to here. One way is by walking, choosing to walk in obedience to what God's word says to us. And then take one number five. Choose to take the focus off of yourself. That moves us closer over here to that place God wants us to be. Joy is found when we get the focus off of ourselves. From inward focus, it's all about me, to outward focus, it's all about God and others. It's very counterculture. It cuts against us even as Christians. But it brings joy into your life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, even if I am to be poured out, Paul said, as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So that great joy flows. Thinking of others, others first. That's exactly what, right? The cross. Jesus, born, the gift unto us, joy. Thinking of others. And takeaway number six, the last one is this. I think joy is found when we make the choice to remember that our Savior is waiting. That our Savior is waiting. I want to finish with Hebrews. I'm going to Hebrews 12 real quick. Hebrews 12. Now Hebrews 11 is like by faith. Man, it's like the roll call of faith. All these people who lived by faith and ran their race. Okay, and then if you're reading through chapter 11, then you come to verse 12. The first word in chapter 12 is therefore, so that's connecting. So everything you just heard, in light of everything you just heard, therefore, he said, since we are, verse 1, surrounded. by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race. Okay, so the writer of Hebrews is saying that your life is like a race. And he said, run with endurance. What's that tell me? It tells me it's a marathon, man. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. With endurance, the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, there's the word again, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's what's happening. The writer is picturing us running our own race. And the saints that have gone before us, Hebrews chapter 11, surround us and are saying to us, keep going, don't quit, you can do this, we finished our race, you keep running yours. Finish your race. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. And in that marathon, there will be hills that you will come across. There will be hills that you have to climb that make your muscles burn and hurt to the point where you would say, through circumstances in life, you say, I don't know if I can finish. I can't go on anymore. And all these witnesses, Hebrews 12, you read Hebrews 12, and all these witnesses are saying, yes, you can. They're cheering us on. They have gone before us. You can finish the race. There may be hills, there may be rain, there may be sleet, but you can finish the race is what they are saying. Hebrews is written, one of the reasons is to help us finish in faith and love, man. And as you're running, when you face those hills, and some of you are there today, when you feel like quitting because it's too hard, or you have thoughts of hopelessness, what is it that we do when the joy has left us? And I feel hopeless, things will never change, and I don't feel like running anymore. And Hebrews chapter 12 is exactly for us. We find ourselves there. Verse 2 is what you do. First three words. That's what you do. Luke 2:10, unto us, joy, a Savior. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus. You look to Jesus as you run. You remember that He ran too. You remember that for 33 years of His life, He ran and He ran, and His race, this side of heaven, finished at the cross. The struggle, the difficulty, for the joy set before Him. So Jesus was sustained by the joy He anticipated at the end of His race, at the end of His marathon. Now, I'm going to finish. Stay with me. That joy that we will also experience at the end of our race in heaven also encourages us today. So the joy that we anticipate at the end of our race should stream back to us today. Let me show you this real quick. Hebrews 10, verse 34. Now, as this writer, he's writing to Christians. They were being persecuted. Some were thrown in jail. Those who were not thrown in jail had a choice. Run for your life, man. Get out of here. Or stand firm. Go support those that are in jail. When you do, you too will be persecuted. What's your choice? In verse 34, he says this, the writer, for you had compassion on those in prison. Now he's talking about those believers who didn't run, they went to prison to see these. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you, now listen to this, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. So they could have took off, but no, they went to the jails to identify with those who are Christians, and then what happened is they lost everything. And the Bible says they joyfully did that. Where does that come from? I mean, there's only one explanation, that is from the Spirit of God. That's what we pray for. That's what we want to be. Those kind of people. That it's not in all the stuff I have, ultimately. But it is unto us a Savior is born. It is in Christ. He says, for you had compassion on those in prison, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession. Okay, that is to come. And then, listen, and an abiding one. That's the present. You see, that was the joy set before them that they knew that they would experience in heaven. But then it flows this one, it flows back to them now as an abiding joy in Christ. So it wasn't just certainly when they get to heaven, but it was both now, then and both now, that that hope streamed back to them today. It gave them joy, even when they were losing everything. As this one writer says, and then we'll pray, this was the joy set before them. They might lose their reputation, they might lose their houses, they might lose their possessions, they might lose their lives, but those were not the foundation of their joy. That was with Christ in the future, flowing back to them in the present by faith, making love and joy possible. If this world is your treasure, rather than being with Christ forever, you will not be able to love in this sacrificial way and experience the fullness of joy. But if Christ is your all-satisfying joy set before you, you will experience the peace of God, the love of God, and the joy of God. Today, tomorrow, and every day when we choose joy. Let's pray together. Let's stand. Will you pray with me? Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you that your word gives us hope in all things. And I pray for every single person in this room, myself included, every single one of us. God, I pray and ask that we will be empowered to choose joy. I want that for these people. I desire that. I know you want it greater than I do for them to walk in joy. Some, Father, as you know, are walking through hard times. I pray they fight for joy. I pray in a supernatural way, God, that only comes from you, that flows from you. They are able to take a deep breath and just to breathe in joy and peace and to truly walk in that. That true is your grace and your mercy on us. So I pray that, God, for these people. Thank you for the gift of joy unto us in Jesus. We thank you. It's in his name we pray these things. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as we bring things to a close this morning, my friends, I want to just say, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, let me invite you today. Come today. God has drawn you to him. We invite you to come to him. I'll be at the front and others will be down here, elders and staff. They can lead you in that prayer also. If God is drawing you today and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, we invite you to come. There might be other things on your heart, and we invite you to come if you want us to pray with you or for you, or if you want to come and kneel at the altar, or just right where you're standing. Maybe you're praying, praising, worshiping God. However the Lord leads you this morning, with joyful hearts, let's just praise God this morning and worship together.